Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Galesburg Live. Thanks for being with us here on this Saturday morning. In our first hour, not live this time because we are replaying an interview from Thursday morning. Galesburg Police Chief David Christensen calling it a career. In fact, yesterday was actually the last day, although he's on call this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that. But Chief Christensen retiring as Galesburg Police Chief, and we had a chance to catch up with him on Thursday. So how many years total in law enforcement for you?
Well, you know, I don't know that I've done that calculation. At Galesburg, I'm a month shy of 37 years.
Wow.
If I'd have stayed till October 10th, it had been 37 years. But I had brief stints at a couple of other small departments prior to that. So I close to 40, I suppose. I don't know.
So you put a couple of years in.
Yeah, a few.
Yeah, so yeah. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Michigan.
Okay.
We still have a place up there that it's a summer home. My brother and I share it, but I've been in Galesburg a long time. We moved, of course, I've been here 37 years.
Became your home.
It really did. Yeah. You know, my children grew up here. They graduated from Galesburg High, and, you know, people ask me, do you have any intention to move? And I really don't. I mean, we even have grandkids, you know, in the area, not, you know, Geneseo, but, no plans to move.
Unless another winter like last winter, then maybe you'll think about going somewhere warmer.
Yeah, well, yeah. Being from the north, I kind of like winter. So.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it's because you grew up with that kind of
You're
weather.
You're right. Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
Well, so after around 40 years total in law enforcement, about 37 here in Galesburg, deciding to call it a career. How many years is chief now?
13. Actually, 13. August 30th was 13 years. So I'm in my 14th year, but 13 total. So.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of talk about, go back to the beginning, how you became interested in law enforcement in the first place.
Yeah, again, I've been asked that question a number of times, and I don't know that I have a real good answer. I did have a close friend, an older man that was a local sheriff's deputy there in Michigan, and he told me about what he did, and it was interesting. And you got to remember that would have been back in the early 80s, the jobs were very difficult to come by back then. And I grew up in a community that a lot of my classmates ended up going working in a car factory, and I had no interest in that. So I went off to college and got a degree, and then, you know, kind of the rest is history, I guess. Yeah. So
what were you in criminal justice in college or?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So you did have that interest, obviously.
Sure. Yep.
So rather than going for the money at the car factory,
right? Yeah.
you went for the tougher job,
right?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes over the years, and I think a lot of people don't realize. And maybe I don't know if it's gotten worse or not. It seems like it has, or maybe it's just because we hear more about it. But how dangerous of a job it is. And I don't think it matters if it's in a community the size of Galesburg or Chicago or, you know, Knoxville or whatever. It's a dangerous job.
It can be. And, you know, an example of that is a deputy in Fulton County. He was out at a rural address, and it's the most unlikely place for that kind of an event to happen. But yet it did. And, you know, people ask me, what would be the most dangerous thing you would do as a police officer? And I often tell them, it might surprise most, is probably out directing traffic on a busy highway. A couple of close calls for me have been, you know, passing motorists that fail to slow down. And I've had a couple of pretty close calls. And, you know, it is an occupation that does have some inherent dangers. But we train a lot. We train well. So we think about that a lot as law enforcement officers, and do everything in our power to avoid those kind of situations where it potentially could be dangerous. You know, if we're out directing traffic, we're required to wear a reflective vest, things like that. So, and you know, we do what we can.
Yeah, I guess the scary part is you're relying on other people to be safe though too, and that's, I mean, of course there's with Scott's Law now, but. It's still happening though. Maybe not as much, but it's still happening. That's the sad thing, that
right.
There are still people that don't pay attention when they're on the road.
That's
I guess.
True.
And that's probably something you've seen over the years, that there's more distracted driving, probably number one, with the advent of cell phones and that type of technology.
Right. Certainly distracted driving is a problem. And, you know, we see that here in Galesburg, try to take some enforcement action. But I will say to you that it appears to me, as I drive in my personal vehicle, that people are paying a little more attention. You know what? Scott's Law is fairly new. There was a time that people didn't pull over very much or very well, and I think there's been a lot of attention. Of course, we've had a couple of tragic deaths here in Illinois with Illinois State Police, and that's really focused some attention on that issue. So as I drive around, I do see people make more of an attempt to get out of the officer's way. So
that's good.
Yep.
That is a good thing. Galesburg Police Chief David Christensen joining us. A couple more days on the job, and he's going to be retiring. Of course, Russ Idle will be taking over as the new chief. I want to talk about some of the inherent danger in the job also. You mentioned one of the more dangerous things, directing traffic on a busy, whether it's on the highway or whatever, and people may not paying attention, coming close calls. One of the other things, and this is something I learned, I can't say how close I was to considering a career in law enforcement, but I had gone in the Air National Guard, and I was through the Air Force Security Police Academy. But I was on there was the law enforcement side and the security special side, and I was on the security special side. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of the classes we took were on the law enforcement side, and a lot of what they talked about said, you know, some of the biggest and most dangerous situations you will have is getting domestic calls. Is that one of those cases? Because you just know those situations can be so volatile when there is family involved. Is that one of the things that you think about on those type of calls?
Yeah, you approach those types of calls with a lot of care. As you mentioned, they're volatile. They're very emotionally filled.
Yeah.
It's a difficult day in those folks' lives, you know, when the police have ended up at their house, and, you know, it's unfortunate. But, yeah, we as police officers, we answer a lot of those types of calls, and I have had a few instances where, you know, the couple, whomever they might be, were not getting along well, but the minute the police show off, suddenly they both turn on the police. So, yeah, that's, you know, as Galesburg police officers, we always send at least two officers to those calls. We would almost never send an officer by themselves. So, yes, you're right. It's has some potential danger.
You know, your job, I wouldn't ever say your job would be easy, but your job would be so much easier and much more pleasant if people would just comply. It's so simple. On you guys' behalf, it's like dealing with children sometimes. It's like, I tell you what to do, all you have to do is do it, and there's not going to be any problem. If you get pulled over for, if you don't think you should have got pulled over, just comply, and then you'll be able to go about your way.
Right.
It seems so simple, but that's got to be tough. I think people don't understand how tough it is on your side, having to restrain yourself and having to deal with somebody that doesn't. It's like, okay, here I am, the parent dealing with the toddler. It's almost the same thing in some cases.
Right. We, you know, as an officer, you get very good at convincing people to do things that it's in their own best interest to comply, like you mentioned. And I can recall many instances where I was, all you need to do is leave, sir, please leave, you know, and you get to the point where you're almost begging them to leave because you don't want to take enforcement action, you know. But then again, you know, I keep in mind I was assigned to the overnight shift for a grand total of 15 years.
What fun!
Yeah, oftentimes that involved they were under the influence of something, which makes they're a little less reasonable at that point in time. So sometimes it's really hard to convince them what they really need to do. So
a lot of tough things about the work you do, and I like I've always said, we've talked about this, we appreciate the people, and I like I said, I wasn't very close to the, but I gave the career consideration. I thought, you know what, it's really dangerous, and I'm glad there are people that are willing to do it. And I appreciate people like you that have been willing to make a career of it and protect our community. Galesburg Police Chief David Christensen joining us here this morning. He'll be retiring. Got a couple of more days on the job. We were talking about this off the air, actually a little bit on the air also, that, of course, Russ Idle will take over as chief on Monday.
Right.
You finish up tomorrow. Are you on call for the weekend?
Well, that's a good question. I'll need to check in with the city manager on that. I think technically, yes, answer
okay.
that question.
Just checking.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to leave the city without somebody in that role. So, They better not call me, though.
I was going to say, hopefully they won't need you for anything. Hopefully we'll have a good weekend.
Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some changes in law enforcement over the years. Let's start with technology. Obviously, you know, when you got started in it nearly 40 years ago, if you did a report, you're sitting there on a typewriter. You know, if you messed up, you had to go back and do it again. And it's, and you know, then the advent of the computers and everything. Talk about some of the differences in technology over the
years. Yeah, one of my favorite stories is I hadn't been with Galesburg but a couple weeks, and I sat down to, like you said, type a report on a typewriter, and my training officer was sitting nearby, and I looked at the typewriter and said to him, I said, how do you turn this typewriter on? Well, you don't. It was a manual typewriter. So, for years, we type police reports on typewriters. And if you made a mistake, you know, I think the rule was if it was more than five characters long, you could exit out. But anything more than that, you had to start all over. So some sort of an informal rule, you know. But there was a lot of correcto type used back in those days. So, again, I was many years into my career before we finally got rid of our typewriters. We had a whole collection of – and, it made you good at typing, keyboarding.
Yeah.
Now we would call it keyboarding, but back then it was you became a pretty good typist. You know, in a typical year, I always estimated you type about 1,000 police reports as a patrol officer. And so you got good at typing. But now, of course, it's a far different game. It's all on a PC, and it's all electronic. And, it's sent from place to place electronically. And we actually probably type a few less reports these days than we used to. Much of what we do, we can record that in our CAD system, so it's really not necessary to type a report anymore. But you're right. I mean, we've seen so many changes. In-car cameras, the squad cars here in Galesburg all have cameras in them, and guys use their phones for a lot of different things. And the forensics of police work have changed a lot, too. Back in my day, my early era, you know, fingerprints and those sorts of things were really important, trace evidence. You know, fingerprints are probably still important, but now we really rely on video evidence. I joke that we've become the video police. You know, if we don't have a video of something happening, it didn't happen. But we really do, you know, there's video so prevalent, whether it's a homeowner's video or a business video, that we do seek those out a lot, and oftentimes they're really good evidence. And we create videos. Let's say we stop somebody we suspect they're under the influence, and, of course, we have a video of all that. So. And we use DNA is something we use a lot now that we didn't ever use, you know, back early in my career, that wasn't even heard of. But, so DNA is a very, very useful tool. We can, find DNA in very trace amounts at a crime scene, and it's, very good evidence we happen to find that.
That's one of those, when you mentioned forensics, that DNA is something that's really become so prevalent and can make or break a case, I guess,
right.
in a lot of ways.
Mm.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Well, good morning. Thanks for being with us here this morning. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we'll be talking with Mike and Candy Kalb from Kalb Corporation in Oneida. You'll find out a lot of things you might not have known about a corporation out of little old Oneida, Illinois. But first off, we'll hear more from the now retired Galesburg Police Chief after 37 years here in Galesburg, 14 as police chief, or nearly 14 as police chief. We got a chance to talk with Chief Christensen on Thursday about his career and the future. And we'll hear more from Chief Christensen. Police Chief David Christensen joining us, Galesburg Police Chief. He'll be retiring. He'll finish up officially tomorrow, but he may be on call this weekend.
Yeah.
we hope he doesn't get called at all. But after about 37 years here on the police force here in Galesburg, about 40 total in law enforcement, talking about some of the changes. You mentioned the technology. And the technology in the cars also, not only the cameras, but having the computers in the car as well. And so there's a lot of information at the officer's fingertips on a stop.
You bet. You know, Tom, you mentioned the computer in the car. They can compose reports in the car. They don't even theoretically have to come back to the police station to do those reports. They virtually have anything available that the dispatcher might have available to them in the car. And, of course, when I started, there was none of that technology existed, or we certainly didn't have it. It really, you know, that's their toolbox when they're out in their police car. I call it their moving office, because it really is. They can... An officer can, you know, look at photographs, do a lineup in the car, do the report, check on any kind of Secretary of State information, of course. It's really an important tool, and it might be interesting that oftentimes the equipment in the car can be as valuable as the car itself. We have computers and GPS tracking and so on. So,
Chief Christensen joining us here this morning. You know, one of the things we've talked a lot about this this subject and the city of Galesburg, the state of the city, and, you know, a lot of people, oh, it's so horrible, it's so dangerous. And do you hear that outside Galesburg? Because I don't. It's so funny that I don't care what community you're in, people are going to say that. But honestly, you look overall at Galesburg compared to other communities, and even nearby, and granted, I understand Peoria's a little bit bigger, but, you know, in the Quad Cities and even in individual towns like Rock Island's not that much bigger, East Moline's not that much bigger, there's a whole lot more stuff and more dangerous stuff that's going on in other communities other than here. Yes, we've had our share of issues, but it's a pretty small share when you look at it. I think we have a pretty safe town here.
I would agree. You know, I made my home here, and I, you know, it's... People want to debate this issue, I suppose, about crime rates. But, you know, the truth is if you look at crime rates, the crime rate in Galesburg is much lower than it was 20, 30 years ago. The Galesburg Police Department makes fewer arrests because, you know, we try to find alternatives to an arrest sometime, perhaps more than we did in the past. But, you know, almost all crime rates that we would track have trended down for several years now, but they continue that downward trend, so...
Yeah, well, and you know, and with the shootings, those are so, I mean, people will dwell on it for a year or better. It's like, you know, we're dwelling on something that happened a long time ago, and I understand the victims and the victim family. That's one thing. They should dwell on it. It's going to be hard to get past it. But for the rest of us, like, you know, if you look at what's going on in the other communities, like, okay, well, since this one thing that happened more than a year ago, this has happened 15, 20 times in another similar type community.
Right.
So it's just, I just wish people could get past things that have happened.
Yes. Yeah, we get reminded of those things often,
sure,
as police department. But, you know, as a police department, we do make every effort to make the community as safe as we can, of course. And like I've said all along in my tenure here is that keep in mind that the police in this community are in partnership here. And in order for a police department to be effective, you have to partner well with your community. And I think that happens here in Galesburg. It's maybe a little bit more so than other communities. I always, you know, I moved to Galesburg back in the early 80s, and I always thought Galesburg had a real hometown feel to it. It's a city surrounded by a sea of cornfields, so it's not like there's suburbs that we can go to. So it has a real hometown community, and I think it's a, you know, people support the local high school sports teams, and people are involved in the community. I think maybe a little more so than other communities our size. But that cooperation with the police department and the support that we have from the community helps us to be a more effective police department.
Stay connected with local news headlines in your email inbox with the WGIL Morning Brief. It's free. Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
This is Galesburg Live. Tom Meredith, your host this morning, had a conversation with the now-retired Galesburg Police Chief, David Christensen. Got a chance to chat with him Thursday morning before wrapping up his career yesterday. And here's more with Chief Christensen. Chief, we've been talking a little bit about changes in law enforcement and technology, those type of things. Talk a little bit about the community here and kind of people's opinions, and which is, I think, mostly unfounded. And what I do like is there are a lot of people in the community that are stepping up and trying to get people to realize what a nice community this is. And, right, you know, guys like, well, somebody that used to be on the police force, a guy like Anthony Law, and right, and even the people working with the kids here in this community, the Solutions Program at the Y, with the Joey Range and his crew, and the Men of Distinction, one of a character at Carl Sandburg College. It's really neat that we have a lot more mentoring going on also.
Right, you bet. And I've met with Anthony and his team, his Men of Distinction, and spent a little bit of time down at the police department. And, again, bridging those gaps that there may be, or making having that line of communication is so very important. And you're right, there are a lot of people in the community that really want to make Galesburg continue. It's a good place now, but make it even better, perhaps. My cohort down the hall, Tom Simpkins, he's getting his walking school bus going there here this fall, and I think that's a wonderful idea. He was out making these little yellow school buses, and And there's other programs that we've had here in town to really focus on what we have here. I think it's a real asset to think about, you know, at the hometown atmosphere and people step up for one another. I had to mention this. I'm a Galesburg Noon Lions Club member, and that way I won't get fined next week. So, but Blessings in a Backpack, we participate in that. And so, and that's a way that children that may not get proper food over the weekend when they're not at school get it. So that's a real good program sponsored by Knox College, but the Lions Club is partnered with that. And last Tuesday we helped pack backpacks for weekend food. So, and there's a lot of those kinds of activities going on that it's really makes you happy to make your home here.
So. Yeah, you've had the DARE program and just so many things. And obviously having a resource officer at the high school, right. I think that's an asset that people... Because I guess sometimes it's maybe whether it's adults or children getting to know officers on a human level. Because obviously they should be looking at you with some amount of respect, but there's also some amount of fear, I think, among other people. And they got to remember you're also human. And that's kind of a way that the department humanizes itself.
Very much so. So many of the officers at GPD are very involved in the community. You mentioned Joe out at the high school. He interacts with the students really well, and long after some of the students graduate, they still are in touch, contact with Joe, and he's been out there now, I think, for 17 years. So he's seen a generation of students come and go, and back when we had the DARE program, we don't now, but that was a real positive program. You can debate how much value it had as far as the drug prevention, but it certainly had a lot of value in making that contact with the community. I still have people mentioned that they had officer so-and-so as their DARE officer. Now they're young adults. So, you know, it does have an impact, us interacting with the community on a non-enforcement interaction. So, and we get plenty of opportunity. I know we have plenty of officers there at the PD that are involved in coaching teams, Little League teams or Babe Ruth teams. People are there. I have several officers active in the local church. There's all kinds of things officers do. And again, it's partly because we're a small town, a hometown community. We're not part of a metropolitan area where you work a shift and you know in your community and you drive 40 miles to go home and you have little to do with that community after you're off duty. But that's not the case here. There's so many activities officers involved in. So.
Yeah, well, we talked about the NAACP's day. Right. They have a Kiwanis Park that you guys are involved in that, and they want you involved. Right. You get to meet people there and again, humanizing yourself a lot.
Very much so. Yeah. Very important.
Galesburg Police Chief David Christensen joining us. You know, one of the things we talk with the local superintendents of the schools, and it's one of the tough things right now, especially being in the state of Illinois, is hiring new teachers. Not as many people going into it for whatever reason. That sounds like it's an issue with the law enforcement side of things too. Not just here in Galesburg, but is it to the point where it's actually a problem now or?
Well, for instance, Tom, historically we attracted about 45 test takers, I'll call them, that would show up at our testing. We test every other year. Last time we had 12 show up. So a significant drop off. You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if that trend continues. But you're right that throughout the profession, all the other chiefs and law enforcement officials I talk to have experienced the same thing. Illinois State Police, back in the early 80s when I actually tested for the Illinois State Police, and they'd have thousands of show up, as many as 10,000 people, and now they have so few that they can't even fill an academic class or an academy class because there are so many fewer recruits. You know, I think there's many professions that are seeing a lack of qualified applicants, and law enforcement's no different.
What do you think is part of the reason for it? Because there's this whole, you see, and it's talked about the war on police, and of course we see a lot of cases where somebody just sitting there in their patrol car, whatever, has gotten shot in other places, and it can happen anywhere. Is it that, or are those things more prevalent now, or is it just that we are hearing more about them now because of the 24-hour news cycle? Obviously those things have happened in the past, but were they as prevalent previously?
Well, I think we're hearing about them more. I think you're right about that. You know, if you look at let's take the statistic, officers killed in the line of duty, that peaked in 1973, I think, and there was many more of those line of duty deaths back then, twice as many as there are today. I mean, it can still, obviously, if it can still be a dangerous occupation. Those things, unfortunately, still happen. I know the International Chiefs of Police, they have a program below 100. They want to see those line of duty deaths. That's their goal, is to have fewer than 100. Again, back in the 70s, there was 240 or so. You know, as far as recruiting young adults to the profession, we have to be, I think the most effective way Galesburg has to do that is word of mouth. We, a young officer knows of some young adult that might be interested in the profession. That's very effective, and we do that, and officers are busy about trying to recruit acquaintances and friends, and we've gotten some good recruits that way, so...
Yeah, and I don't know if there's, I don't know if you call it a stigma. I don't know what it is, but it's also, I mean, and then if you look within, you know, just getting recruits and minority recruits is something that's even tougher within that subset, I guess.
You're right about that. And we and other police departments work hard to, you know, obviously we want a very diverse workforce, and we've had some success at that. But we continue to do that, and we work through the Fire and Police Commission. They work real hard to move toward that end as well. But you're right, Tom, that is, you know, that is difficult for many police departments.
How many officers are on staff at Galesburg Police Department?
Right now, there is 49. There was a time not too many years ago, our number was 53, and because of budget difficulties, we're four fewer than we had been. Keep in mind, though, I would tell you that we have 49 authorized, but rarely do we have 49 ready to go to work. You know, there's almost always somebody in training, and the training process is very long. If I were to hire you today, you'd be almost a year before you were eligible for solo patrol. You'll end up down at the academy for 14 weeks. Then we have about a 3 or 4 month FTO program. So it takes a good amount of time.
Yeah, and that's even with somebody with a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. It doesn't matter. You still got that training is the
right.
Same.
Yep, in Illinois. You need to take, or you must take, that 14-week academy. And they've expanded that over the years. It hasn't been too many years ago. It was only 10, but now it's 14. And so it does take some time. And usually Sergeant Lee McCone retired a couple weeks ago. It'll be a year before his replacement is on duty, eligible for solo patrol. It takes some time, just the hiring process. And then the earliest we can get a seat in an academy class is January. So that's part of the reason it takes as long as it does. But you know, we have to stay ahead of that to try to anticipate those vacancies.
You know, I think I often think back, if I would have done it, gone the law enforcement route, would have had been university police. That would be the gig to have. Much less dangerous. Just taking alcohol from the kids.
Right.
Yeah. Chief David Christensen joining us, Galesburg Police Chief. He'll be retiring in a couple of days and heading into the future. Speaking of the future, let's talk about, we talked about some of the changes that have gone on in law enforcement. A lot of it, I guess, is on the training side. And it's I guess, continuous education for officers. Yeah, you have your initial training, but so many things have changed over the years. And like you said, even the way you handle things and maybe not making an arrest that you would have made, 25 years ago in a particular case, figure out a different way to handle it. What do you see for the future? Is it just more of that, more changes in the way things are handled, say, whether it's in a domestic dispute or whatever the case may be?
I think officers are very creative when it comes to handling a call. And, of course, that's a product of their training. One interesting fact, Tom, is that today the majority of officers that we hire come to us with a college degree. That's different than it was 30 years ago. It was probably the exception back then, but now it's pretty much the rule of thumb. We do require 60 credit hours of college work to even apply, but again, most come with a bachelor's degree. But the training is, we talk and think and train all the time about conflict resolution, dealing with folks that have mental illnesses, a diverse population, and much of that is mandated. You know, we were doing it anyway, but now it's been mandated by the state of Illinois, and so officers, like other professions, we have a core curriculum that we must do in order to stay certified, and we keep real busy doing that. There would be a month an officer wouldn't be in some sort of training session, so we do a lot of training.
Yeah, so I guess in that respect, you're as much of a psychologist as a police officer when you're in the middle of handling a call.
Could be, yeah. Again, we really have focused as a profession on how do we interact with people that have a mental illness, and we receive a good amount of training in just that. And I don't know if that was true 30 years ago, but certainly is now. And that benefits the officer. They might recognize that the problem really isn't a violation or a criminal act. It's more a mental health issue.
Well, that is such a big issue. I know we've talked with Sheriff Clegg about it. We've talked with you about it in the past. That is something that's such a huge problem that there's so many people that you see repeat offenders. And even if it's not violent, whether it's, theft or whatever, that it's a lot of it may be due to a mental problem. And then here's the issue. Yeah, the person might get sent to jail. Well, they're not getting the help they need there. And that is such a big issue in this day and age. And even with a lot of the shootings, it's mental health ahead of time. So that's a really tough thing to deal with. And especially, I'm guessing, with repeat offenders.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I think that if you look at trends in policing, you will note that our interaction with persons that suffer from some sort of mental illness is up. Maybe we do a better job of tracking that. Maybe that's the reason it is up. But yet it's there for sure. And I think as a profession, we've certainly recognized the need to find something, an alternative to simple arrest and incarceration for somebody that truly suffers from a mental illness. That really doesn't help them if we just hustle them off to jail. So, and it's the criminal justice system wide. It isn't just the police. It's the courts that understand that as well. And certainly, the sheriff's department, they're not set up to house people with mental illnesses necessarily. So.
Yeah, it includes, like you said, everything, the court system and everything. And there are places they're trying to resolve that. I know I've talked before, McLean County had completely redone their county jail where they have a whole mental health wing now, which is actually pretty big and had to be. I know you have issues here sometimes you don't necessarily have room and trying to find. And I know there's some counties, I think Livingston County was one, they were trying to do mental health court. So, maybe like, okay, so instead of, like you said, instead of incarceration, this person, your sentence is that, we're setting you up to get the help you need, which only makes sense because, that jail space is precious also for people that actually need to be incarcerated.
That's right. Yep. And that's exactly that's the trend in the profession. Absolutely. So.
Galesburg Police Chief David Christensen joining us here this morning, getting set to retire, getting ready to call it a career after about 37 years here in Galesburg, about 40 overall. So let's talk about plans for the future for you personally. I know said you plan on sticking around here at least for a while.
I do, yeah. I have no immediate plans, no future plans. I, we're comfortable in the home we're in, and we're in a nice neighborhood for sure, and it's a good community. I still have season tickets to the Galesburg High School athletics and enjoy doing that. And we're close enough we can walk to the games. And but beyond that, I have a daughter and a son-in-law out in Iowa, and they farm. And so I spend a lot of time in the fall out helping them with their farm. And they're also building a house, so I'm kind of the interior carpenter for now anyway. And so I hope to keep plenty busy. I got another farmer texted me last night wondering about me helping. So
you're going to be available for harvest then.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but at least for a little bit I am, I guess. And I signed up to be a substitute teacher.
Oh, really?
I haven't actually gone out and been a sub yet, but I just got licensed here in the last couple of weeks, and we'll see how that goes.
You'll probably get a call every day. Well, good.
But,
well, so, yeah, you're going to mention mixed emotions, I'm sure. I mean, I guess in some ways, is it bittersweet or just like, it's like after so many years, is it just time or?
Well, both. It is very bittersweet. Yeah. I very much enjoy the people I work with. I count them as friends, and it's a wonderful bunch of people that at the public safety building, the dispatchers, the patrol officers, everybody there. And I'm certainly going to miss them. I won't have that daily interaction anymore. And I suspect anybody retiring feels some of the same emotion. I've been getting up and going to work. I took my first job 3 days out of high school, another college. I've been getting up and going to work my whole life, so that's going to be unusual. I'll still hope, I still plan on getting up and doing something, but so that's going to be a change. But I suppose just the people there at the public safety building and not seeing them on a daily basis. But I'll tell you that it's a good group, and I think people in Galesburg can be confident that the work is going to go on and it'll be done professionally. And you mentioned Captain Idle, as I know him, but soon to be Chief Idle, is going to do a wonderful job. And he has the support of the department, and it'll be a good thing to have him lead the department.
So. Yeah, and I think that's a good thing sometimes with the transition. Somebody's been in there and knows the entire staff, and I think that was a big thing with him being your replacement.
Yes, and I was real happy to see that somebody that was an internal applicant, and that the staff will feel more comfortable with him. And
well, Chief, thank you so much for your service to our community. We really appreciate everything you've done for the community. And I know we'll see you around still at the games and everything. And I guess congratulations as well.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.